sinners, and saints. Dust off those horns and halos. It's time for Alan After Dark.
Sinners and saints, I must have done a lot of sinning this last couple of weeks because my allergies have absolutely kicked my ass. I have been pretty sick with them for the past week, and you may notice in my voice, the way it sounds, that I'm still, I guess you could say, congested, something like that. But how you all doing tonight? You feeling well? You feeling sexy? You feeling horny? I hope you are if you want to be. I am. And of course, I can point to one reason why. Well, other than the lack of sex or masturbation, but a full close encounter of the Mohawk mankind at the grocery store this morning has me just ripe and ready for picking, if you know what I mean.
Yeehaw.
Oh my God, that man. He's had his hair cut so that the Mohawk is more defined, and you can see the tattoo that runs along the side of his head, and it just was worth three or four circles around that aisle just to look at him and savor that eye candy. Damn, 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 is he fucking hot. And I had the pleasure of the bread guy who was stacking his loaves on the shelves, and he is still as hot as ever. That man always wears shorts. I don't care if it's 85 degrees or if it's 12 degrees. He's wearing shorts, and I don't blame him. He's got the legs for wearing shorts. If I had those legs, I'd wear shorts too. But I'm willing to admit that I have Dorothy's Bornak legs. Well, I'm fairly certain. Did you ever notice that on the Golden Girls, how Bea Arthur would never allow her legs to be shown? She always would wear like pantsuits. And there was that episode where she was playing tennis against one of her high school rivals. And even though she had on a tennis skirt, she was behind the net so you could not see her legs. So I have to think that my legs resemble what hers must have looked like. Varicose veins and blue highways going in all directions, like lightning strikes or something. It's very possible. Or she could just have an image problem. You know, sort of like Barbara Streisand. It's the stuff of legend that she only wants to be filmed during interviews and photographs from her left side because apparently she thinks that's her best side. But damn, if you've got problems, you could always get plastic surgery, right? She's got enough money, but maybe you're like other celebrities. Maybe you're afraid that you would become addicted to plastic surgery. Speaking of plastic surgery, I am so excited because this weekend I'm seeing Madonna in concert, the Celebration Tour. I've seen her three or four times in the past, and she has some of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And so I'm really excited about this one because friends who have already seen it say it's her best yet. So I'm excited, but I won't be wearing shorts there either. I've still got to figure out what I want to wear to the show. You know, that's a big deal. You're going to be seen by thousands of people, and it's the Queen of Pop. You can't just wear anything to the Queen of Pop's show, right? But anyway, I'm also looking forward to happy hour this evening. I can't believe I'm saying that because I'm still not exactly 100%, but you can't let allergies take over your whole life. Just pretend that the snot coming out of your nose is a splash of jizz or something, you know?
What?
Anything to deflect the perverts that are looking at you and trying to judge you. But people are going to judge you anyway, so let them have something to judge you about. If you've got jizz in your beard or mustache, maybe that's a bragging point. Maybe that's a badge of honor. It's definitely not a badge of shame, right? Although, I've got to confess, one time, well, not one time, but this time, and the time in particular that I'm talking about, I did get a bit of a facial from a blowjob, and I did kind of cover my face until I got outside so I could clean my face up and nobody could see. I really didn't want people to see a whole splash guard full of jizz on one side of my face.
What is this?
Although there was this one time. Remember the story I told you about the guy that I called Yo when we would go out to that field to his camper? Well, that next morning, I headed out and I was hungry, so I decided to stop at a Hardee's drive-thru, and I was coming around and didn't think anything about it. I handed the cashier my money and she looks down at my arm and basically says, I look down at my arm and I'm like, oh shit. I had a whole stream of dry jizz on my arm that I did not notice before. But anyway, she should have been happy with that. She should have been happy for me that I actually got a little the night before. Maybe she was just jealous, you know? But my God, sinners and saints, my apologies. This episode went way off the tracks before we even got started, didn't it? So after all that, I guess we can get on with the show. Actually, what I was just talking about, I think is a good lead-in to what I want to talk to you guys about. Why do we care about what people think about us? Why are we so concerned about being judged? I do believe there are sincere, genuine reasons for us to be concerned, because it can kind of become an out-of-control fire. If it's just a few people that are gossiping about you based on your behavior or something, that's one thing. But if it starts spreading to more and more people, that can be a concern where it really damages your reputation. But I've always felt like it's just gossip. And if you outlast the gossip, it proves them wrong. And it places the doubt about what they say about you directly on them. It's like people won't trust them in the future when they see that everything that they've said has been wrong. But maybe it doesn't work that way. Maybe we just forget about the rumors and such. But I'm going to give you an example here. Well, first of all, I've mentioned it before. I had run into an old friend at a bar one night, and we hadn't spoken in years. He literally said to me, I was told that you had died a few years back. And I'm like, well, no, I didn't. I'm right here. And so he knew right away that the person who told him that I died was wrong, and not to probably trust that person again when it came to information that was so serious. But what was interesting is that I was having a dinner with a couple of friends recently for their birthday, and the conversation was a bit serious because he was having a little bit of depression about his age. And he said to me, he said, you lost an old boyfriend to AIDS, right? And I told him, no, I had not lost one to HIV/AIDS. And he said, oh, well, that's interesting. Because years ago, I was under the impression that you had. I also was told by someone not to risk sleeping with you because you were HIV positive as well. I looked at him funny and I'm like, well, when was that? And he said, well, it's been at least 15 years ago. I'm like, oh, well, I think you can tell that probably from that time frame to now that I'm not really sick. And even if I was, it's under control. And just for the record, I am HIV negative. Not that that matters one way or the other. As long as you're careful and use protection and communication, you're fine. And he just didn't know what to say. I just said, and I had to finally say to him, the person who told you that was lying to you. I don't know where they got that from or why they would say it, but I guess when you think about the early 90s in particular, there really wasn't a good treatment for HIV, AIDS, and most people died from it at that time. So maybe that was just the thinking, is that it was so prevalent. It was around us all the time, the discussion, the communication, people that we knew who had the virus. So perhaps I was just another person that people just assumed was infected. Actually, when I came out to my brother and sister-in-law, the first thing my sister-in-law asked me was, do you have AIDS? And I knew that had I said, yes, I was positive, that she would have prevented me from ever coming to their house again or even holding my nephew or being around him. But that was the assumption at the time. If you go back to the 80s and the 90s, if you were a gay man, automatically people assumed that you were HIV positive. I remember when Magic Johnson, the basketball player, had the press conference to announce that he was retiring and that he was HIV positive. When he would do interviews, they wouldn't ask him about his health. They would keep asking him, you must have had sex with a man, you must be gay, as if that was the only way you could be infected with HIV. I guess in that time frame, being judged in that way could cost you your career, your family, your life. So that would be one reason, I guess, to be afraid of judging. It is, what are they judging you for? Now, if you call me a slut or a whore, I couldn't care less if you call me those things. Jesus Christ, those are just names. Those are just words. When you're thinking about people who judge you, when you are affected by that judgment, you're giving that person the power. And is that person worthy of having that power over you? Like I said, if that spreads to a larger group of people where it starts harming you with your job or your family or your loved ones, yeah, it could be an issue. I can go back to when I went. You remember that time I told you guys about when I worked at that factory in my hometown and I went to the mountains with Kim, but I had that huge crush on her brother. Well, we went with two other people, and when we got back, I mean, we just had a good time, but all over that factory, there were rumors that we had all spent the weekend, we were all naked in a hot tub together, getting drunk and crazy, and not a bit of that was true. And we had to defend ourselves because it started spreading out into the regular community that we had some kind of fucking orgy when we were up in the mountains, even though we only spent the day in the mountains. So in the small towns, the rumor mill runs rampant all the time. And almost always, it's wrong. But in this case, one of the guys that I work with at that factory was friends with my cousin. He told my cousin this story that was totally false. And my cousin told my grandmother that I had been drunk in a hot tub with three other people. We were naked and basically having an orgy. And of course, my grandmother calls my mom and my mom says, well, that's not possible. They went that morning and came back that evening. How could they have been in a hot tub all weekend? And so the repercussions were is that my grandmother scolded my cousin for telling her lies. And then the cousin got mad at the guy that I work with. And so there was a positive outcome after our reputations had been damaged. So anyway, my cousin looked like a total gullible fool. It served him right. So be careful what you hear on the grapevine, because many times it's sour puss. Mainly what I'm trying to say is that when judging becomes rumors, I think that's the factor that comes into play to when we're most affected by it, at least in my case. And I think that would be the same for all of us. At least we're not celebrities being targeted by TMZ or the National Enquirer every damn day. I can't imagine how that feels. You know, like the story about Princess Kate, the Princess of Wales, announcing that she has cancer. I think she felt pressure to do that because there were so many in the media speculating on what was wrong. I bet they feel like dicks now, don't they? So I wonder about you guys. What's the worst rumor that's ever been spread about you? And would you mind sharing it with me sometime? I felt like Hannibal Lecter saying it like that. Shit. On the flip side of rumors and judging, I still am baffled by the level of trust some people will give to what is basically a complete and total stranger. I keep hearing this thing about catfishing, and I was able to witness it myself online through a social media platform. Somebody I knew announced that they were in love and engaged, And everybody's like, well, that's great. And I'm like, well, that's wonderful. Good for you. And we find out that he has never met this person. They've only talked online through messaging and methods like that. And I'm like, so you've only talked online, but you know enough about this person online to announce that you are engaged to him. So anyway, we were witness to this whole drama where he went to the city where his fiance lived. He took a bus, I guess Greyhound, to the city. It took basically everything that he had in his account to pay for the tickets and a hotel or whatever. And the person never showed up. What do you call it? Ghosted him. And so he was up there, and on social media, he told all of us that this person never showed up. So he didn't even seem to realize himself that he had been catfished. It took him 2.5 days to get back home because Greyhound had to take him halfway across the country just to get him back here. And we were witness to his anger and his sadness at being catfished. How do you let yourself fall in love with someone that you've never really met, that you don't even know the picture that you're seeing is really of him? Is it just that desperation to be in a relationship that you're willing to ignore every red flag, to ignore all the signs that could be pointing to trouble? I mean, this guy could have been a monster. He could have been lying in wait to kill you, to rob you, to torture you. You don't know. So why are we so willing to trust someone online before we've even met them? Now, I have no qualms with anybody. If you're talking to someone and there's chemistry, well, go and meet them. But I would have my doubts that you could actually be in love with someone that you've not spent time with. It just bewilders me that you could think that you're really in love with someone based on the image that they've presented to you on a social media platform. I would be embarrassed. I doubt that I would ever admit to being catfished, but I am grateful for them for laying it all out there in their posts so that we can see that someone really did get tricked. The shock came when the next day he was still talking to this person saying, I love you and I can't wait to see you. And people were screaming at the top of their lungs, are you stupid? You were catfished. And he said that he was going to get back at them, revenge. And I just wanted to scream and roll my eyes and bash my head against my desk because there is no revenge on that. That person didn't care in the first place. There's nothing you can do to get back at them because you're never going to see them. The picture that you thought was them wasn't them. You have no clue what their real name is, where they really live, or anything. And is it worth all that effort at revenge when they've already got you? Maybe you should just take the L and say, okay, I've learned my lesson, and let's just move on. I hope I'm never catfished. God knows I've been suckered enough in real life. I guess that all the times I've been burned, that makes me even more cynical about online relationships and connections. What can I say? I just don't trust anybody. Give me the dick or give me the boot.
Yeehaw!
Thank you for joining me for this edition of Alan After Dark. I hope you've had fun and have been entertained. Remember, take life by the balls and be real. We'll see you soon.